And is this her busting up cars and stuff? This isn't a song where she's busting up cars? This the one where Jesus is driving her Buick? I don't know. Triple play Thursday. Yeah. Nick DiGilio here on WGN. John and Niles, Carrie Underwood. That's Something in the Water. She's a strong woman, Carrie, and her Underwood. All right, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. So we're going to talk about cliffhangers. The reason I bring this up is because, obviously, a couple of weeks ago, The Walking Dead ended their season with a massive cliffhanger that really made a lot of people mad. Now, I don't watch that show anymore. I kind of gave up on it. And I know, Vic, you don't watch it because, as we were discussing, you don't get zombies.
Yeah, exactly.
But it ended. Now, Dan, do you still watch Walking Dead? Did you ever watch Walking Dead?
I never watched it.
Yeah. Well, you know, obviously, of this big cliffhanger.
Yes.
Where they introduced this character named Regan. And at some point, at the very end, he kills somebody with his crazy bat. I believe his bat's named Lucille. I think. So he bashes somebody in the skull with Lucille. And it ends at that point. And it made a lot of people very angry. So Robert Kirkman, who is the creator of the comic book, The Walking Dead, wrote all the stories, and is executive producer of the show, was on At Midnight last night. And they did a mock cliffhanger at the end of At Midnight, which made me laugh out loud. So that got me to thinking about cliffhangers. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Before we get into that, I do want to mention that in just mentioning cliffhangers, you guys know, Vic, you know that Raiders of the Lost Ark, which I will be screening in a couple of weeks, was based on the old adventure serials that they would show in the movie theaters that were cliffhangers. Like, you would have to come back the following Saturday to the movie theater and pay your nickel to see if the hero survives.
I didn't know that.
That's what was to inspire George Lucas and Steven Spielberg grew up going to those serials when they were little kids and wanted to make a movie that was basically a bunch of those cliffhangers for 2 hours straight. Like, is this hero going to get out of this?
I didn't know.
Yeah, that was the inspiration for it. And well, I know you're coming.
I am.
To see Raiders.
Yep.
Esmeralda, I understand V is coming.
Yeah, he really wants to go, so yeah. I think he is.
Yeah.
I believe so.
He's come out to a couple of my events, which is very, very cool. I'm showing Raiders of the Lost Ark, screening it on Tuesday, June 7th at the Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont. If you've never seen Raiders on the big screen, it's celebrating its 35th anniversary, which, of course, makes me feel like I'm 7,000 years old. But Raiders of the Lost Ark, 35 years old this year, so we are celebrating that. And if you've never seen it on the big screen, you got to see it on the big screen, really. And it's digitally remastered, beautiful premiere theater, incredible sound, beautiful giant screen, love seats with incredible legroom. You can have food. You can have cocktails during the movie. We'll meet at 7 o'clock at Bogart's, which is a restaurant on the second floor of the Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont. Have some dinner. And then at 8 o'clock, I'll introduce Raiders of the Lost Ark. We'll watch it and talk about it afterwards. It's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be very, very cool to see that on the big screen again. So it's only $10. $10 for a classic movie on the big screen, and parking is free. So it's a great deal all the way around. If you don't want to drive, it's right off the Blue Line. You can take the Blue Line up to Rosemont. It's a 5-minute walk to the front door of the Movie Co. Theater. So come on out Tuesday, June 7th. That's a week from Tuesday. Tuesday, June 7th at the Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont for Steven Spielberg's Raiders of the Lost Ark 35th Anniversary Edition, digitally remastered on the big screen. Okay? MovieCo.com to make reservations now. M-U-V-I-C-O. M-U-V-I-C-O. MovieCo.com. Reserve your seats now. They'll be waiting for you on Tuesday, June 7th for Raiders of the Lost Ark on the big screen. All right. So when you think cliffhangers, Esmeralda, does anything come to mind? Like when you watch a TV show or you saw a movie and it ends in a way where you go, what? You have to wait to see the next part?
Probably. I mean, most recently, probably things like Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. There's been a lot of shows that I've watched lately where I go, what? And then I have to watch the next episode.
Yeah. Well, now, you know, the thing about it is that cliffhangers are not as huge a deal as they were before, because now, you know, major characters get killed every week on shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like Game of Thrones, this past Sunday, they killed off a character that everybody loved.
Yeah.
And he can only say one word, but they killed him.
But it was a whole to-do thing. It was a whole thing.
Though the big last 5 minutes of the episode,
right,
was him holding a door.
Yeah. And then before that was the Jon Snow.
Yeah, he came back to life.
Right.
Thing.
But was he dead? Was he not? And then those are the worst, because you can't binge watch, because that was the last, when he died, that was like the end of the season. So then you had to wait for a good 6 months.
Well, yeah. And that's what everybody has to do for Walking Dead.
Yeah. So yeah, they have to do it that way now. They can't just do it for the next episode.
Well, they used to make it was more like event TV. You know, if you had cliffhangers. Now, the first one that came into my mind, I have a list here from WatchMojo.com of the 10 greatest television cliffhangers. And now, for people who, you know, might be not young enough or not old enough to remember this, but like Vic, if classic cliffhangers for TV, is there anything that pops into your head?
Man, classic TV. No, nothing pops in.
All right, I'm 50. So, in the summer of, you know, like in the fall of 1979, they ended, the summer of 1980. So, in May of 1980, I think perhaps the biggest cliffhanger in the history of television happened. Does anybody remember? It's number one on this list, and it should be. It's the first one that popped into my head. 1980, summer of 1980, big cliffhanger. They end the series. You got to wait until September to find out what happened.
Who shot JR?
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, nice call.
Yes. Who shot JR? Without question, the biggest cliffhanger in television history. People were talking about it all the time. There were T-shirts made. The catchphrase that entire summer of 1980 was "Who shot JR?" And who was it? It was what's-her-face, right? Mary Crosby?
That I don't remember, but I do remember that now.
I have the explanation here in front of me. It says, taking top honors on the list is the grandfather of all TV cliffhangers. Throughout the summer of 1980, everybody was asking who shot JR after the show's famous oil baron was gunned down by an unidentified attacker. An actor's strike postponed the premiere even longer. And since JR had spent the entire season ticking off pretty much everybody in the entire state of Texas, everyone was a suspect. I forgot about the actor's strike. Oh, man, I forgot about that. That made it. That means people had to wait even longer to find out. And I think it was Mary Crosby. Dan, who shot JR? Can we find?
Yes, Kristen Shepherd played Mary Crosby.
Yeah, played by Mary Crosby. She shot JR.
In the episode titled, Who Done It?
Yeah, man.
Kristen was JR's scheming sister-in-law and mistress.
Yeah.
Who shot him in a fit of anger. JR did not press charges, as Kristen claimed she was pregnant with his child as a result of their affair.
How about that?
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. That was the biggest, man. Who shot JR? And now, you know, and Dallas is also responsible for a weird ending. Remember the episode where it turned out the entire season turned out to be a dream? Like, they kill Patrick Duffy's character, if I remember correctly. I never really watched Dallas on a regular. My mom did. She loved that and Dynasty and the Colbys, all of those shows. But, like, what's his face? Patrick Duffy gets killed, and then later in this, like, at the end of the season or something, at the beginning of the next season, his wife wakes up, and she hears the shower running, and she goes in, and it's Patrick Duffy in the shower, and she had dreamed the entire season. That was another one, but that one was, people were not happy about that. You know, the Who Shot JR thing was really well handled by CBS and by the producers. You know, they turned it into a cliffhanger. It was pop culture. It was a pop culture phenomenon for that entire time. And then people were satisfied with how that ended up. Like, people were like, okay, that makes sense that she shot JR. But people were not happy about this. Oh, she dreamed the entire season? And didn't St. Elsewhere end it up like that, right? Didn't St. Elsewhere end up like it was an autistic kid who had a snow globe?
And it was all in his mind.
And it was all in his mind. Like, all
But isn't... Weren't those series enders?
Yeah. So yeah, yeah. That wasn't a cliffhanger. Okay. No. That's not what we're talking about here.
Okay.
But I don't think Dallas was a series ender. No. That dream sequence, the Patrick Duffy being in the shower, that was like, there's still like four seasons of the show left after that.
Was that season just ridiculously insane?
I don't know. I know, but I maybe it was because, I'm not really sure the details. I think it had something to do with Patrick Duffy renegotiating his contract, and they didn't know whether he was going to come back, so they killed his character off, and then he decided to come back, so they said, all right, well, you were in the shower. It was a dream. People were not happy. I remember people not being happy about
that. Yeah, because that whole season you would have to just disregard.
Exactly.
Because it was a dream.
Exactly. So, okay, we got a break here. We're talking about cliffhangers. What are the best, worst cliffhangers, the ones that made you crazy? TV cliffhangers, movie cliffhangers, 312-981-7200. Both talk and text, 312-981-7200. We also have another set of the Triple Play Thursday that you can request at 312-981-7200. Cliffhangers, that's the topic. Yeah. Triple Play Thursday, man. Triple Play Thursday. Nick DiGilio here. John and Niles, Carrie Underwood. That's Little Toy Guns. Is that the one where she's busting up cars? That's not?
I don't think so.
Is that the
Maybe.
One where Jesus stole her car? Is that the... It's not the one?
Mm.
Okay. All right. Triple Play Thursday continues. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN here till 5 o'clock. And we're talking about cliffhangers, best cliffhangers in movie history and best cliffhangers in TV history. And we were just talking about Dallas and how that was, you know, easily the biggest cliffhanger. 920 area code says all Sopranos episodes had great cliffhangers. Yeah, well, they would keep you wondering what's going on, you know, for the next week. A lot of that, and see a lot, but see now that's like a regular thing, because you remember back in the old days when I was a youngster, I walked to school uphill both ways. No, all the shows would wrap up their stories at the end of an hour, like if it was a cop show or a drama, everything would be wrapped up by the end of the show. That's not the way television works now. Some of it is that way, you know, like a lot of the procedurals are like that, and Law and Order and stuff like that. But a lot of the TV shows, especially the ones on cable, they continue. You have to watch the whole, you know, it's like one long story. That used to be like a big deal if a story was carryover, it would be a very special two-part episode of Home Improvement where Tim Allen finds pot in... What was that kid's name? Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
No, it was always the older brother.
Jonathan Taylor Terry Thomas? What? Who's the older brother?
He was that big blonde-haired, like he had a thick neck.
The not heartthrob one.
Wait.
I just remember he always had like
thick neck?
Yeah, he was like a big necked dude.
So he was just a lunkhead, is what you're saying.
Kind of, yeah.
He was the one who had the pot?
I think so.
Wow, that was a very special. They don't even have that anymore.
Brad
with the thick neck. Good old thick-necked Brad with the pot. Yeah, I remember that episode. They found pot, and then Tim put a boat motor on the garbage disposal, and it blew up. And his wife got mad, and he talked to the guy outside with no face. And he said, go in and apologize to your wife and fix the sink. Thank you, guy with no face. He went in the house. They told the kid, throw the pot away. He threw the pot away, and then he fixed the garbage disposal.
Yeah, it was Brad.
Brad. Okay. No, Cliff, was there ever any cliffhangers on Home Improvement? Were there ever any cliffhangers on that show? Like, did he not fix the fridge? Did they have an episode where the fridge was broken for two? Like, will Tim fix the fridge? Will the guy next door find a face? That was the, those were the cliffhangers on Home Improvement. Sopranos all had great cliffhangers. You know what the final episode? I hated the last episode of The Sopranos. Oh my God, did I hate it? And I know some people love. I hated the series finale of The Sopranos. Esmeralda, what did you think of it?
I was. I mean, I never really watched it. I watched the last few minutes of that episode because I wanted to know what the big deal was, and I could understand like just. It just goes to black.
Yeah, and there's a Journey song playing.
Right, and I could understand like being mad about it because I was waiting for something to go down.
Oh, I hated it.
And then nothing happened.
I hated it. I watched that show, you know, pretty regularly.
Did they ever explain?
No, well, no. Well, God, who was the guy behind The Sopranos? What was his name?
David Chase.
Chase, right, David Chase. I was going to say David Milch, but he was Deadwood. David Chase has never really gone out and has said what he thought happened. You know, some people think that Tony Soprano gets killed as soon as it cuts to black. That's the end.
I mean, I'm assuming that's the point.
You know, yeah.
Is that your mind will go,
yeah.
Can go a million places.
Yeah. But that was the series finale. You don't do that kind of crap for a series finale. I hated that, man. I hated it. You know, and that was at the time when I was like, and especially because at that time when the Sopranos ended. Well, hey Dan, when was the last episode of The Sopranos? Can you look up the last episode of The Sopranos? Because at the time, you know, The Sopranos was considered this is the greatest show on television, except I was the opposite of that. I was all about The Wire.
Aired June 10th, 2007.
Okay. So it ended in 2007, and at that time, when you know during that final episode, I was headlong into The Wire. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and like any other show was just and even the Sopranos and everybody who wasn't watching The Wire, I thought was an idiot, but they were watching The Sopranos. It seemed to me like of the two HBO shows, The Wire was clearly better, like by a mile better than The Sopranos. And so I was still watching The Sopranos, but I'd kept like, an episode of The Sopranos would end and I'd go, yeah, that wasn't as good as the last episode of The Wire. Wasn't even close. And then the finale for the Sopranos happens and I'm like, okay, this is the most ridiculous thing ever. And then about a year later, the finale for The Wire happens and it's one of the greatest series finales of all time. Like the absolute opposite of how to end a series, The Wire did. Like they did a great, incredible final episode that wrapped up the entire series and all the characters in an incredibly satisfying and melancholy way. And then The Sopranos ends. Just another argument that The Wire is 9,000 times better than The Sopranos. So, all right, here's Cindy on WGN. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Nick.
Hi.
The original Fugitive, each week was a cliffhanger.
Every week, yeah, that was one of those series that like those old cliffhangers that Lucas and Spielberg were, because you never knew, because, you know, the setup, for those people who don't know, I mean, maybe some people know because they saw the movie with Harrison Ford, there's this doctor who was accused of killing his wife, and each week he goes on another adventure because he's on the lam and he's trying to find the one-armed man who killed his wife.
Right.
And you never know what happens each week. Yeah, every single episode, you're right, of The Fugitive, yeah.
Well, I think that was the original one with regular cliffhangers.
And that's another one of those things, Cindy, where the final episode of The Fugitive, where you find out who killed, when he finds the one-armed man, was the highest-rated season finale up until that point. It was like everybody who had a television was watching it that night.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Cindy, thanks.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Have a good night.
You too. 312-981-7200. Wild Bill here, he says, Lost in Space episodes were all cliffhangers until the third and final Jump the Shark season. Those episodes were stupid. The robot falls in love and gets drunk once. Wait a minute. The robot gets drunk and falls in love? How do I not remember that?
Does it even drink things? It's a robot.
I don't remember whether he consumes.
Did he get ethanol instead?
Yeah, there's something must have happened. High must octane. Have happened. I don't remember that at all. I bet his arms were flailing around like crazy if he was drunk. Danger, 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 Will Robinson. All right, we got a break. By the way, those episodes are now following Svengoolie. Thank you, Wild Bill. In case anybody wants to watch some crappy Lost in Space episodes, they're on after Svengoolie. I think Svengoolie is doing an Abbott and Costello movie this weekend. I'm almost positive. We'll have to find out about that. All right, we got a break, and then more cliffhangers coming up on WGN. Wow. Okay. Now I'm happy. Ike in Country Club Hills requested Wendy and Lisa for a Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, baby, Triple Play Thursday. I love Wendy and Lisa. They're awesome. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. How's everybody doing? It's Thursday morning. We are here till 5 a.m., and then it's Steve Grzanich at 5 with the opening bell and the great Steve Cochran. He's out today. So it's Andrea and Dave. They will be co-hosting the show this morning. They're coming up at 6. And it's Triple Play Thursday. Wendy and Lisa. You got to love Wendy and Lisa. Nobody knows those albums, though. I'm like the only person in the world. I own like all 4 of Wendy and Lisa's albums. That's from the first album, the self-titled Wendy and Lisa album from 1987, which is a phenomenal record. Phenomenal. So there you go. And, we're talking about cliffhangers. And let's see. 708 area code. It was Maggie Simpson, LOL, it says in there. Now, there's a great cliffhanger right there, taking a cue from Who Shot JR. Who shot Mr. Burns? You gotta love that up. You gotta love that cliffhanger. This was season 6 of The Simpsons, coming in at number 2 on the most talked about ending. Is the episode closes with Mr. Burns collapsing after being shot, and Simpsons fans were left guessing who done it. To keep the secret, the creators produced as many possible outcomes, even though there were clues in the episode to alert the most attentive viewers. You had no idea who did it, and it turned out to be Maggie. In like the greatest, that was one of the greatest. That was at the time when shot Mr. Burns, when that 2-part episode aired. That was at the time when there was nothing better on television than The Simpsons. Like there was a period of time for about 4 or 5 years in the mid to late 90s when there was nothing funnier, nothing smarter, and nothing better on television than The Simpsons. When it was far and away the best show on TV. I'm going to say from around 93 to about 98, around that time, nothing better on television. Of course, at that time, I was not watching Seinfeld. So I would argue that Seinfeld was as good, but I wasn't watching it then. I didn't start watching Seinfeld till like 2000. But Esmeralda, were you a fan of The Simpsons during that time period?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. No, that's, I think, where all the, anything I quote.
It all comes from.
Yeah, it's all that time.
It's that, it's like, I'm going to say around 93 to about 98. That was when, like, every episode was phenomenal. Like, every Sunday night, you just go, mm-hmm, okay. Or it was on Thursdays for a while, too. Do you have a favorite Simpsons episode, Esmeralda?
I like the Springfield Stories.
Oh, that's a great one.
I like that one a lot because there's so much in it.
It's so weird, too. 22 short stories about Springfield.
Yes.
Based on a very obscure movie. And now you know how that one was written, right, Esmeralda?
No.
You know how that game that you have, I don't know if you've ever played this game, where you like write a sentence, you're telling a story, and you write a sentence, and you fold the page so the person next after you doesn't see your sentence? Or like maybe one word of it,
mm-hmm.
and then that person takes it someplace else. They had 22 different writers write, that show, which is why it's so weird. I think my favorite part of that episode, and it is a brilliant, brilliant episode. My favorite part of that episode is the man who's too big for the car.
Are you laughing at me? I know. I quote that all the time.
The best is the Sova. This is the only car that I could afford. And then he makes Nelson walk down the street with his pants down.
Look, everyone, it's that boy who makes fun of him, laughs at everyone.
That's the best, man. That's my favorite part of that episode.
Wave to the people. Blow them kisses. Oh, that's the best.
Now, my favorite episode is Dan's least favorite episode. We've had this conversation many times. Dan hates the episode that I think is the greatest Simpsons episode of all time. Have we talked about this, Esmeralda?
No. What is it? What is it?
Mine is Homer's Enemy, which
with
is
George Bush.
No. That's a different one. Homer's,
oh, with
Frank Grimes.
Right.
Best episode in the history of that show.
I mean, it was fine.
Now, explain to everybody why you hate it so much, Dan. And it's so funny because it is absolutely my favorite episode of all time.
So this ties in with my favorite episode, which is Itchy and Scratchy the movie.
Which is such a great one.
Yeah, where Homer would not let Bart watch Itchy and Scratchy movie. And part of the reason why I love it is just the inside writing on it. Because they make an in-joke about the appearances by Michael Jackson and Dustin Hoffman in previous series seasons. Both of those guys didn't use their real name in the credits. And at one point, Lisa's talking about the movie and she says, Dustin Hoffman and Michael Jackson are in it. They didn't use their real names, but you know it was them. Which, again, just shortens the point. But at the end of the episode, you know, the part of the reason why Homer would not let Bart see the movies because one day Bart would be a Supreme Court justice. And at the end of the episode, flash forward 50 years, Bart is a Supreme Court justice and they go see the movie. And so for me, you know, despite the fact of all the controversy about the show, it was always a show about a lot of heart and it was about a family and it was very sweet in the end. And the Grimy episode killed that, literally and figuratively, because they, like, that's when it, like, it poked, you know, it lifted the veil off things, and it just was like, all right, you know what, maybe we are a bunch of jerks and a-holes, and I am happy that, like, this guy dies and he lives above and below a bowling alley, and, you know, if there was a cruelty to it that kind of washed away all the sweetness that I loved from the show.
Okay, I could, you know, I mean, that's, and obviously that's absolutely right. Legitimate. Dan, absolutely. And I too, like you, one of the reasons why I think that show was as phenomenal as it was at that time is because it had heart. I mean, it was a show where, you know, these are cartoon characters, but they're way three-dimensional, and you care about them. And I remember getting, as the show progressively got worse, like in the late 90s and into the 2000s, I kept getting mad because the writers that they would bring in had no respect for the characters and how they'd been set up. You know, like they would make Marge do stuff that Marge would never in a million years do, you know, or they would just and Homer got progressively dumber.
Right.
You know, and it
to
wasn't
your point. Even though it was animated, it never treated the show as a cartoon. But when that started happening and they brought in writers and they started doing things that only cartoon characters would do.
Yeah.
That was another like, really?
Yep.
All right. You know, this is a downfall.
But in that sweet spot, though, that we're talking about, 93 to 98, man, I mean, there were three dimensional characters. It was a great show about a very realistic family. And there wasn't anything funnier or anything more clever. Now, the reason I love the Frank Grimes episode, and you're right, everything you say about that is absolutely true. I remember the first time I watched the Frank Grimes episode, Homer's Enemy, I could not believe the way it ended. With them at Frank Grimes' grave and everybody laughing as the coffin is being lowered into the grave. And that's how it ended. I remember sitting in front of the TV going, oh my God, that is the darkest thing I've ever seen in my life. And I mean, the fact that like they actually kill the character off, like he dies and Marge, change the channel. This is boring. And that's a Homer. And then they all start laughing as the coffin is going into the ground. I was stunned. I remember I was with my first wife and we were both like, what? What was that? Then I immediately rewound the VHS and watched it again. So, yeah. and Homer is just ridiculous. He's so ridiculous in that. And Frank Grimes, I just want to say this. You know, Hank Azaria is an MVP on that show. All the voice talent on that show. You know, when they held out for money and there was a big controversy about it, the stupidest controversy of all time. Pay those people whatever they want. Brilliant voice work on that show. Brilliant. Hank Azaria is an MVP, but I got to say, that's my favorite Hank Azaria vocal performance of all time, is when he did Frank Grimes. And he does so many classic characters on that show, but I got to say, like, when he starts freaking out at the end, when they give Homer the prize in the children's model thing, and he goes, and he has the meltdown, he goes, and he's running around. I'm Homer Simpson. Oh, you wish. It's ridiculously funny, man. All right. Anyway, so cliffhanger number two on this list is who shot Mr. Burns? And it was Maggie. All right, we got more cliffhangers to talk about, movies and TV. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Wendy and Lisa. It's Triple Play Thursday. Nick DiGilio here. Ike requested Wendy and Lisa, and that's also from their first album. That's called Sideshow. All right, we're talking about cliffhangers. Mary Sandberg from The Morning Show, producer of The Morning Show, texted me, and it says, Maude Flanders' death by T-shirt cannon is the best death ever. And it was Homer's fault, of course. God. All right, we're talking about cliffhangers. All right, now I'd never watched the Star Trek: The Next Generation. Did you? Either of you guys ever watch it?
I did not.
And Dan, you didn't. Number three on the list: Next Generation's first ever cliffhanger was the best. The USS Enterprise was sent on a suicide mission to prevent the unstoppable Borg from reaching Earth. The crew rallies behind Captain Jean-Luc Picard, but when he is captured and assimilated, they are left with... Oh, when he gets all Borged. Borgy, Borg, Borg, Borg. Does he become the Swedish chef? You know, they made a movie. The Next Generation movie. What the hell was that one called when he was all Borged? When they Borged him up. That was a good movie. That was the Next Generation movie that I really liked. I don't remember what it's... I have no idea what it's called. First Contact? No. Borgy, Borg, Borg? I don't remember. It was the second one, because the first one sucked. The first Star Trek Next Generation movie sucked.
First Contact.
It was First Contact. Okay, that was a good movie. All right. Dynasty. Season 5 finale of Dynasty was a great number 4 on this list of cliffhangers. Nighttime soap had its share of catfights and shocking moments, but there's no contest, no most notorious cliffhanger. Just as Amanda and Michael are getting married, they are rudely interrupted by terrorists who open fire on the wedding party as part of a military coup in their country. The entire show's cast was left lifeless in the chapel, riddled with bullets. Wow. I'm assuming my mom would remember that. And then you wonder who survives. Okay. I guess they really wanted to up the ante, right? Like Dynasty wanted to up the ante on Dallas. Listen, we're gonna have everybody killed. Maybe. Number 5 on the list, Twin Peaks, baby. How can you forget Twin Peaks? Who killed Laura Palmer? The David Lynch series only lasted 30 episodes. But it's the unplanned series finale that many remember, with the mystery of Laura Palmer's murder solved. Special Agent Dale Cooper visits an enigmatic realm filled with doppelgangers, ghosts, and pure evil. Cooper saves himself and his girlfriend, but gets possessed by a demon in the process. At least we think he does. We'll never know for sure.
Or we might. Is that Twin Peaks thing not happening
anymore? Oh, yeah. No, Showtime next year. And the cast is insane. If you look at the cast, if you go to IMDb... and you look at the cast, the people who are appearing in Twin Peaks, the 2017 version. And by the way, every episode will be directed by David Lynch.
Are they picking up where they left off?
I have no idea. It's 20 years later.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got into that very late. Like,
oh, Twin Peaks?
A year ago? Two years ago?
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I binge-watched it, and it was...
It's phenomenal.
Amazing.
Phenomenal. And you know, the thing about it is... when it was actually happening, you were too young, Esmeralda, but when it was actually happening, I would have Twin Peaks parties. Like, we would watch it every week. And the night that they, you know, were supposed to reveal who killed Laura Palmer, we had like a we bet. We all put in money in the pool and we bet on who killed her. I won, by the way. I had to split the pot because I knew, of course, Leland did it. Come on, how is it not her dad? Come on.
Did you guess though that it was going to be that crazy business?
Well, I don't. You can't figure out anything that happens on that show. It's so insane. But I knew that for me, the only sort of emotionally satisfying way that it could have ended, and I don't mean that in the way it was like, oh, I was satisfied emotionally by it, but the only way that thematically, at the core of what that show was about, the only way that it would have made sense on an emotional level was for her father to have done it. That's the only outcome that would have made any sense. And, of course, that's what happened, and I was happy about it. But, I still maintain, Esmeralda, that the pilot of Twin Peaks, the very first episode, the pilot, is one of the greatest things, if not the greatest thing that's ever been on network television. I mean, what they got away with, I mean, this was 1990, man. Long before cable shows were hip and you could get away with stuff, this was an ABC show. And I remember watching the pilot, and I could not believe how awesome it was and how weird it was. And that was the same year David Lynch released Wild at Heart, which is one of his best movies, you know, and coming off of Blue Velvet. I mean, this was like, at that time, David Lynch was the king. And I can't wait for the thing to come back on Showtime. It's going to be awesome. And Esmeralda, when you get a chance, take a look at that cast list, like who's guest starring on it. It's unbelievable. And it just goes on for days. Like, you'll continue scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and looking at the next name and the next name, going, oh, my God, this Twin Peaks thing is going to be the greatest thing ever. And Lynch is creatively involved in it. He is, in fact, directing every episode of it. So it's not going to be fluff. It's going to be the real deal. All right. Alias Season 2. Apparently, J.J. Abrams likes to torture us slowly by ending all of his shows with killer cliffhangers. This spy series worst was Season 2. Sydney has a brutal fight with her longtime nemesis, Allison, that ends with Allison dead and Sydney unconscious. Next thing we know, Sydney's awake with no scars, with no memory of what happened, and her boyfriend is married to someone else. And oh yeah, 2 years have passed. I remember that. J.J. Abrams is also responsible, as they mention here, for one of the greatest cliffhangers in my world, Ben or Noel, at the end of Season 1 of Felicity. Who does she choose? Does she choose Ben? Does she choose Noel? You'll have to wait till September 3rd, 1999, to find out. And she chose Ben. She chose correctly. I just would like to say that she chose correctly. I know there's some Noel people out there. I'm a Ben.
Ben the one from the high school?
Ben is the one that she chased to New York, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Ben is Scott Speedman. And Noel is Scott Foley. And then the second season, that's the season where she cut her hair. And everybody was like, oh, the show sucks now because she cut her hair. And that's why the ratings went down. No, the ratings went down because they moved the show to a different night. It was on Tuesday nights. They moved it to Sunday, and it was no longer following Buffy. That's why the ratings went down. Not because she cut her hair, you idiots. The quality of the show did not go down. In fact, all four seasons of that show are phenomenal, except for the last four episodes. Esmeralda, do you know about the last season of Felicity?
You've told me.
Okay. He was contractually, they originally said they wanted 12 episodes for the last season. So episode 12 of season 4, as far as I'm concerned, is the end of the thing. That's it. But then they said you need to do four more episodes. So we had to concoct four episodes after that. So he did what J.J. Abrams always does, time travel. And it makes no sense. Those last four episodes make no sense. But he had to do it because it was a contract that he had with the WB. So Ben or Noel, one of the greatest cliffhangers ever. I have a T-shirt that says Ben or Noel. And on the back it says Felicity. Somebody from the WB sent it to me in 1998.
Did you circle the one?
I did not. Everybody knows my love is with Ben. Everybody knows that. All right, we have to break. We got the news coming up and then more cliffhangers here on 720 WGN. This is life. This is mine. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN on Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, Triple Play Thursday. Ike and Country Club Hills decided to go with two deep cuts after Honeymoon Express. That was The Life from the first album. He didn't request Waterfalls, which was like the single. It didn't chart big, but that one and Honeymoon Express were the two videos from the album. In Waterfalls. See, they wrote a song called Waterfalls before TLC.
Right.
They did, not the same song.
No, yeah.
But. All right. Cliffhangers. Let me finish off this list of television cliffhangers on the list here. We have Lost Season 3. And you were aggravated every time you saw the Notorious Lost logo at the end of each episode, but the Season 3 ending was just brutal. What happened at the end of Season 3, Dan? You're the Lost dude.
So that was the flash-forward introduction. So the entire episode, you were seeing what was going on the island, but you also saw Jack drinking and just in a bad way and a big bushy beard and miserable. And at the end, you realize he's miserable because they got off the island and now he wants to go back.
What? But then all that stuff didn't happen, right?
No. So, at that point, so everything up until that point had been flashbacks. You saw what was going on in the island, and all these stories had been about, things that happened to the
characters. Before the crash.
Before the crash.
Right.
And then, so this was when they introduced the fact that some of the characters did in fact get off the island. Some wanted to go back to the island and turn the series on its proverbial ear.
Now, and you followed it all the way through.
Oh my God, that was the one that came to mind.
Yeah, for you.
When, yeah. So, because I remember vividly, people know Matt Bubala, who has this shift on Friday, Saturday night. He used to be John Williams' producer.
Yes.
So when he left, I was up for that job, and I didn't get it, and I was bummed out. And then that episode aired 3 hours after I found out I didn't get the job, and so the next day, all the people were consoling me, and I'm like, listen. I don't care about the job right now. We have to talk about the Lost finale.
Oh, wow.
That's how good that episode was.
That's awesome. That's great. Well, you ended up now producing for me.
Yeah, it all worked out.
I got
the call on Steve and John a couple weeks later.
That's right. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Friends, Season 4. In the Season 4 finale of the hit sitcom Friends, the gang travels to London for Ross and Emily's wedding. However, Ross makes the worst Freudian slip of saying, I take the Rachel, and not I take the Emily. He was on the altar, he said that?
Yes, he did. She runs in a few minutes before just to watch the ceremony, and then he says it, and she's in the back
And then that's how it ends? That's how the season ends?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. Wish I didn't care. I knew that, though, because I wrote that episode.
Right.
Yeah. It was my idea for that, the cliffhanger. I wrote Stinky Cat, too.
Oh, the song? The whole episode?
The whole episode, everything.
Okay.
Did they make you change it to Smelly Cat?
No, it's Smelly Cat, right.
Was it Stinky Cat?
I forgot.
Was it Stinky Cat originally? And they're you know what, Nick?
I was inspired by Stimpy, of Ren and Stimpy, for that song. 24, Season 5. Well, didn't every episode of 24 end as a cliffhanger? I mean, every episode did, right?
Yeah, there was always something.
Ding-dong, ding-dong, right. Ding-dong.
Isn't that coming back as well?
No.
Oh, I thought it was.
Yeah, rebooted.
They rebooting it?
Yep.
With Kiefer Sutherland?
No. I mean, he's not the main character. There's rumors that he'll pop up, but no.
Because Dan earlier this morning was talking about this new show where he's going to be president.
Right.
Because he's got glasses.
Right. That's how you know he's smart. but yeah, it's a completely new character. I think it's one of the guys from Straight Outta Compton who's starring in it.
Oh, okay. Okay. The guy who, but I just want to mention, I always forget their names because the guy who played Eazy-E was hilarious in Keanu. He was hilarious.
Which one was he?
He was the guy who got the George Michael tattoo.
Oh, okay, so he's one of those guys.
Yeah, he's one of the gangbangers.
I couldn't tell you what the dude looks like because he doesn't have a Jerry curl.
He's hysterical, and he's hysterical. Oh, when they first see.
King Peele. Oh, that's him. Okay.
And they say the N-word, right out of the gate. He goes, oh!
Because he yells at him.
Yeah, because That's one of my favorite takes in the entire movie. Like after Key like goes off on him and starts screaming, he just goes, "Oh!" I wish more people had seen that movie. That movie was hilarious. And then number 10 is Battlestar Galactica. Now look, I'm assuming it's the Edward James Olmos new version, right, of Battlestar Galactica, not the Lorne Greene Dirk Benedict from the 70s.
No, I think it's the new one.
We knew that the pilot, Boomer Valerie, was a Cylon, even if she didn't. Oh, yeah, that's right. And that said, no one saw this cliffhanger coming. Upon activation, she shoots Admiral Adama while on the bridge of his ship. Could he really be dead, and what will happen to Boomer?
Should I watch that?
Did you
watch it?
I did. I watched a few episodes of it. I never really got into it.
Dan?
Never saw it.
But no. I will tell you this. The people who like it really like it.
No, my ex and many of my friends love that show. And I was just like, I don't know, whatever.
It's robots. Got a passionate following. A really passionate following. You know, everybody I know who likes it, you know, is way into it. All right, I have the top 10 greatest cliffhangers in movie franchise history. Number 10, Halloween. Yeah, at the end of Halloween.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Gone. You know, the thing about that, let me just say something, because people are starting to go nuts on the intranets over the fact that John Carpenter announced that he will creatively be involved in the next Halloween movie from the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, oh my God, John Carpenter's going to be... He is going to be an executive producer. Everybody calm down. He's not writing it. He's not directing it. Not even doing the score. He's going to be an executive producer. So in layman's terms, he's getting a check. That's all, people. Everybody relax. Let me put it into your perspective here. Christopher Nolan is listed as an executive producer on Superman versus Batman... Or Batman versus Superman, Justice is Here. What the hell is the subtitle? Justice.
It had a subtitle?
Here, yeah.
Justice. Dawn of Justice.
What's it called?
Dawn of Justice.
Dawn of Justice. All right. So, now let me just put it to you this way, okay? Everybody, you know, Christopher Nolan, executive producer. Mm-hmm. And we all saw how that movie turned out, you know? And Nolan is like, I got a check. And he clearly did not have anything to do creatively with that movie.
Well, and as you said, the whole John Carpenter didn't want to do more with the Mike Myers thing, right?
He was. They talked him into writing Halloween 2.
And this is probably a Mike Myers thing.
It is.
He's probably not into it.
No, of course not. But, like, John Carpenter wants to get paid. He said, I've interviewed the guy many times. And there was at one point I was interviewing him at the Flashback weekend. Mm-hmm. And I said, how do you feel about remakes of your movies? Because his movies are being remade all the time now.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I get paid. I don't care. He said, my goal in life when I was younger was to do nothing and get paid.
He's living the dream then.
Damn right he is, but he's touring with his band and it's going to kick ass.
I mean, it makes sense. Whatever. He did his.
Exactly.
It's there.
If they're going to continue to do these movies, he should get paid.
Yeah, might as well get paid.
I mean, he was getting paid with those movies because of the score, because they used the score, so he was getting paid for that.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants more money, so he's like, "Yeah, I'll be executive producer," which means maybe he'll walk on the set and go, "It's real good. I'm gonna go blow some weed and play video games. I'll see you guys later." I got executive producing to do, which means blowing weed and watching video games. Number 9, The Matrix Reloaded. Right before,
I can tell you like what happened in any of those.
It might the payoff might not have been what the audiences were hoping for, but at the end of The Matrix Reloaded, it really sets the stakes high for concluding the part of the trilogy. It was a cliffhanger that left the main hero defeated, the series equivalent of the Millennium Falcon destroyed, and the human rebel city of Zion about to be obliterated.
Is
I remember.
That cool.
What do you mean? Is that cool?
Like, is that good?
I love it.
Oh, it's great. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I loved it. I'm the only person in the world that backs the sequels to The Matrix.
Okay.
I think Reloaded and Revolutions are both really good.
I don't think I watched. I maybe saw bits and pieces, but I never got into it.
You know, and that movie came out in May. Yeah. And Revolutions came out in November. Mm-hmm. So, like, it ended, and I went, I got to wait till November? I said that out loud in the McClure Court Theater. I've got to wait till November? And I had to. So, All right, we have to break here. We got more cliffhangers coming up here, and we got a ton of texts, so we'll get to some of those. I love this. Doug sends in a text. Clutch Cargo always had a cliffhanger ending.
Oh.
Do you remember Clutch Cargo?
I know of it.
Right, with the real lips?
Yeah.
It's the best show ever. You remember the theme song?
No.
You're not? I'm 50. I remember the theme song. Clutch Cargo. It was the best with the lips. There's a story behind that, an actually good story behind why it's like that. It's just a still picture with lips moving.
Mm-hmm.
From what I understand, if I remember correctly, Dan, you probably heard this, right? The creator's son or daughter, right. Son or daughter, was deaf.
Oh.
And he did that so he could read, so his son or his daughter or son could read lips.
Oh, well, that's
to enjoy
sweet.
It. And then, like, now, because I made fun of that thing forever. That's the stupidest looking thing I've ever seen with the human lips. Then I hear the story of this guy did this for his deaf child, and I went, I've been a jerk for about 25 years making fun of this. So, all right, we got to take a break here. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's Thursday. Hey, tomorrow's Friday. That means Fly Jams Friday. Straight out of context, that's when you listen to this station 24/7, and when anybody says anything that you can pull out of context and it sounds dirty and it makes you giggle, send it off to us. Jot down the date and time who said it and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. It's also Nick D Show Spies. That's when you listen 24/7. And whenever I am mentioned or the show is mentioned in any capacity, you become a spy. Jot down the date and time who said it, and again, send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. We'll play all those back and you big dummy and more. On Fly Jams Friday. You're going to miss another Fly Jams Friday.
I know.
Oh.
Things keep happening.
Yeah. Now tell everybody again what's going on tonight.
It's a live talk show under the umbrella of a podcast called You, Me, Them, Everybody,
mm-hmm.
which is a nod to the Blues Brothers.
Yep.
They say that in there.
Yep.
It's me. I co-host with the host, Brandon Weatherby, and we're at the Hungry Brain. It's 2319 West Belmont, and it's like a talk show. We have three guests.
Comedian, music, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, we got the chairs and a coffee table.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. I've actually been a guest.
Yeah, you were.
A few years back, I did the show, and I had a great time. And I've seen it many times. I've heard the podcast. It's really great. Brandon's been on the show several times. He's a great guy. And Esmeralda is the co-host. So if you want to come out and support, go out and support. You know, everybody who listens to the show loves you, Esmeralda.
Aw,
they should come
thanks,
on out.
Guys.
They
yeah,
should come
it starts
on
about
out.
8, 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Hungry Brain is on Belmont near Western.
2319 West Belmont.
Don't take Western to get there.
Yeah.
Go
around.
That's my advice.
Take Belmont.
Don't take Western to get there.
Belmont.
Yeah. So there's a little work
Damon.
Being done. Dan, there's still a little work to be being done on Western, right?
Little is the amount of life you'll have left over from taking Western.
But go. It's going to be a great time.
Yes.
So make sure you check it out. All right. We got some more cliffhangers here. And Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan. Come on! Awesome! One of the best cliffhangers. I showed that last year, like the month after Leonard Nimoy passed away, as one of my film club screenings.
Mm-hmm.
Not a dry eye in the house when Spock dies. When Spock dies, well, first of all, when Spock dies before Leonard Nimoy passed away, you go, oh, Spock! Beautiful moment between Shatner and Nimoy,
mm-hmm.
between Kirk and Spock. You know, he's on the inside of that tube. Shatner's on the outside. They're touching hands. You are and shall always remain my friend. Oh, come on! And now we're watching it last year, like a month after Nimoy dies.
Right.
Everybody in the theater. Yeah. But it's a great movie. You never know where it's going. Like there is, you know, they shoot him out into space, and he lands on the Genesis Project, and then they search for him in the third one, which was called The Search for Spock.
Imagine that.
Unbelievable. Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince is on this list. That's my favorite of the books. Not my favorite movie. My favorite movie is Azkaban, is Prisoner of Azkaban, but my favorite of the books is Half-Blood Prince, and it does end with a massive cliffhanger. Snape killing Dumbledore was a huge blow to Harry, his friends, and his allies. Up to this point, the Potions Master had always proven to be a good guy, despite his aggressive behavior towards Harry. This terrible act changes everything. While he would ultimately be proven to be working against the enemy, taking out the only wizard Voldemort was ever scared of was a huge turning point to the wizard war. It was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And when Half-Blood Prince came out, when the book came out, I'll never forget this. I'm on the air, and I'm talking about it, and I'm very excited about it. And it had just come out, and I had it, and I was going to go home and read it. Because I've read all the books.
Okay.
So some jerk emails me a GIF, and no. I don't know if they were called GIFs then, but that's essentially what it was. Mm-hmm. He emails this thing. I click on it. It opens up, and it's an image of Tom Hanks on the island in Castaway by himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he opens up. He's got the UPS package next to him, or the FedEx one, UPS, FedEx package mm-hmm. next to him. And a plane goes by as he's looking. As a plane goes by, and it's got a banner on the end that says "Snape kills Dumbledore."
No,
I was just beside myself.
Did you look? Did you try?
I clicked onto it, and I went, "Oh!" And I mentioned it on the air.
Did you try to hunt him down, though?
I never found the guy or woman who did it. And I had the book with me. I just bought it like before work.
That is so cruel.
Oh, well, hang on a second. We got, speaking of cliffhangers, let's find out what's going to happen on the opening bell with Steve. Hey, Steve.
You know, I'm wonderfully getting to know you as I listen to your show every day.
Yeah.
And I just, I'm very proud to know that you wrote Smelly Cat.
I did. Yeah. Yeah.
And what a genius that it was. Instead of going Smelly Cat, it was Smelly Cat.
Yeah, that was my idea.
Stroke of genius.
Thank you.
Stroke of genius.
Thank you. I've never seen that episode, but thank you.
Well,
I appreciate that.
It worked well.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, we won't have a cliffhanger for you today on the opening bell. You know, they're always telling you there is money to be made in clean energy. Well, we're going to tell you exactly how much money today. They've put numbers on it, and it's actually something you can invest in. Hint, you probably should. And we will update there's a new ride sharing or car sharing service coming to Chicago. We'll tell you about Maven all ahead, just on the opening bell.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Have a great day.
You too. Number six on this list is Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest. Couldn't tell you anything that happened in any of those movies.
They're not good?
The first one's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah, I never watched.
And they're all like 9 hours long.
Oh.
Like they're all like, Dan, wasn't the last one like 3 hours? Not the last one, because Depp wasn't even in the last one, was he? Yeah, he was.
It was the guy who's afraid of pigs wasn't in it, right?
Orlando Bloom. See, I'm going to use that now.
The guy who's afraid of pigs.
In any sort of game trivia thing where I have to name Orlando Bloom, I'm now going to be like, the guy who's afraid of pigs.
Which discovered that yesterday. The Dark Knight ended with a cliffhanger. It did.
Oh.
Yeah, because he's on the run at the end.
Oh, that's
he's
right.
He's a vigilante.
Yeah, yes.
You know, when I saw that movie the in the theater, Dan, I saw it at the IMAX, at the Navy Pier in the IMAXes,
mm-hmm.
and the sound was so bassy and blary, you could not hear Gary Oldman's speech. Honestly.
The same thing happened to us, yeah.
And that's like an important speech at the end of that movie. It's very profound and really well written. And like all I heard was...
Is it really a cliffhanger?
It is a cliffhanger.
I mean, did they really address it that much in the next one? I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, absolutely they did.
I mean,
he's a vigilante at the beginning of the third one.
I know, but I'm
Why am I defending these movies? I don't even like these movies.
I just remember thinking, watching the other and going, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right, that happened.
Lord of the Rings, watching. The Fellowship of the Ring.
Mm-hmm.
And why wouldn't they put Two Towers on here, too? Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines. And oddly, there was a Terminator 4, but it sucked, and it had nothing to do with it. Here's one that's on here that was never written as a cliffhanger. Back to the Future. That was not meant. There was never meant to be a second one. They were never going to make a sequel to it. When Bob Gale and Robert Zemeckis wrote it, that was the ending.
Mm-hmm.
When it came out on video, here's something that people might not remember. When it came out on video and then subsequently got re-released in theaters, they added "to be continued" at the end.
Oh, okay.
Where we're going, we don't need any roads. When they go off on video, when it came out on video, it said "to be continued" because they decided to do 2 and 3 back-to-back.
I would love to know how many movies there are that just say "the end?" question mark.
Oh, there's a bunch. There's a lot. That's a great one. And then lastly, perhaps one of the greatest movie cliffhangers of all time, and according to Mark the Bread Man, I agree with him, is Empire Strikes Back. You find out that Darth Vader is Luke's father. Han Solo is just, what do they call him? Crystallized? What is he, frozen in goop?
No, it's hardened.
Carbonite.
There you go.
Carbonite, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You don't know what's going on. Great. It was great. Great ending. Let's see. Steve says there was a classic episode of Happy Days when Fonzie was jumping over barrels on his motorcycle and it just ended as he was taking off.
Oh, is he going to live?
Yeah. What do you think? He lived long enough so he could jump sharks. And then finally, Jay in Ohio says, I was a Greyhound bus driver in 1980. My plate on the bus said J.R. Brinker. For about 5 months, every trip I drove someone back, and the bus would yell out, hey, J.R., who shot you? And the whole bus would laugh. It was a real long summer. All right. Esmeralda, you're off, and I won't see you until Tuesday morning because I'm off Monday. You're off tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay, have a great weekend and a good Memorial Day. And have fun tonight. Say hi to Brandon for me.
I will.
All right, I'll see you Tuesday. All right, we'll take a break, and we'll come back after this on WGN.